Welcome into the very first episode of the Bonnies Breakaway. I'm Gavin Watson with my co-host Ryan Adio. We're here with the eighth head coach of the Bonnies men's program. Coach, how are we doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. I'm excited to sit down with you guys today and just looking forward to getting this thing off the ground and rolling. So we're all good.
Yeah, when you know we brought up the idea, you seemed super excited about this. Yeah. This seemed like something you want to do, maybe make more podcasts later on in your career, it sounded like.
Yeah, no, podcast and kind of punditry is something that's always fascinated me and something I really, really enjoy. Usually throughout the day within the office, have some sort of podcast on or on a walk or whatever. You know, my drive to work is only about 3 minutes now, but it used to be... I used to have about a 30-minute drive to work, and so it would always be some sort of podcast, and I'm always fascinated by them. I really am. So like I said, podcast, punditry, that type of stuff. And whenever you get to sit down with good people and just talk about the game, and you can sit down for hours and just do that, I love it. So exactly. Yeah, no, I'm excited.
Yeah, we were actually talking before this. We were like, I don't know how long, you know, we should have it go. How long? I said, if we're just talking, there's good flow. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I think that's where we're at. But why don't you just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, just your career so far, who you are, where you're from, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, so, you know, Mitch Giordano from Greenville, North Carolina, and basically grew up in the Carolinas, grew up down there, and a big part of my life was has been the game, has been sports in general, but especially football or soccer. As we go through it, and my dad's a coach and has been for a long time, and the game's been really important for him, and he's a big big reason why I am where I am today, and all the sacrifices him and my mom made, but especially my dad with driving me certain areas for club stuff, and we didn't really have a big local youth club, so he would drive me about 2 hours, 3-4 times a week, just one way, 2 hours, 2 hours back. As we went, so I was very fortunate and owe everything to him. And then as I kept going and getting older, he got me into coaching and wanted me in high school to work with some of his youth teams to help me be a better leader, help me be a better communicator, help me understand the game more. And then from there, just really enjoyed it. And so kind of took off and, you know, was fortunate enough, went to college and played and down in the Carolinas and ended up graduating from UNC Asheville, had a small stint, played overseas for a bit, and injuries kind of came back around. That was my my kind of kryptonite a bit towards the end of my career, but was beyond blessed again when that happened. And when I came back, there was a position open at Asheville under new head coach at that time, Mathis Mennel, for assistant position, and he gave me a chance, and just so fortunate from there, the amount of things I was able to learn and him helping me continue to grow, still one of my biggest mentors to this day. So from there, I've had some stops at Wake Forest and also at Wofford, and then back at UNC Asheville as a head coach. Had some stops and stints within the youth game along with USL2 in the summer, being the head coach and sporting director at Asheville City for a 4-year stint there. So kind of a lot of it been in the Carolinas for sure. Now up here in Western New York, just enjoying it and enjoying the A-10 brutalness of what the grind hits you every single week, being in the conference and learning really every day right now on the true test of what the A-10 means and just enjoying them of being at St. Bonaventure.
Yeah. You know, besides obviously this gig that you have now, you know, is there a dream coaching job that, you know, you look at and you're like, I really want to do that someday to work up to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always one of those where you look at it at certain levels and you look at, okay, do I want to be in the professional game? And would I like to be in that stint of it? Would I like to be in the professional game but a youth academy, where now you're trying to develop players throughout, so being whether it's under 16s or under 18s coach, certainly those are interesting things for myself and kind of things I've looked at. Then you also go when you stay in the college realm of trying to elevate and continuing to go, and while the A-10 is one of the best mid-majors and a high mid-major out there, you start looking at right now the ACC has been the premier men's soccer program for the last probably 10 or so years, maybe could be even longer, to be fair. And so you start looking at some of those programs and everything, and maybe back down in the south, or we've got one, to be fair, just two and a half hours away from us here. We're at Syracuse, so I'm a big believer in I don't really say certain places in regards to this is where I would love to go. I'm a big believer in setting targets on the level of where it is. But ultimately, something my dad always taught me was, enjoy the level you're at and make the most impact of wherever you are. So I think that's the biggest thing for myself, is just how and where we can continue to make the most impact is a big component behind it.
Yeah, I guess that kind of brings me to my next question here. Yeah. Like, what brought you into St. Bonaventure? I mean, you were in the Carolinas for so long.
Yeah.
Now you're in upstate New York, I guess, coaching A-10 soccer. Like, what drew you in about this place?
There's certainly a few things. And I was very fortunate early on. Bob Buhorn, former head coach here, one of the most successful head coaches that had his time here, had called me and asked my interest behind it. And Bob's been a mentor of mine for the last couple of years, having worked for him and as he was doing NCAA ranking and NCAA tournament selection. And a lot of it, the more you start to really get into Bonaventure and you get to be around this place, it was just really special. You know, fortunate, where I had been in Asheville in the mountains, you've got some similarities there with the mountains, with the scenery, and with just how beautiful everything is. And then you start looking into the academic piece on what can you be able to talk to families about and talk to student athletes about. Academics here are absolutely top. So you couple that in with, okay, there's really good people, beautiful scenery, and academics combined with all of that, what you can continue to do, like all those things checked off. And then you looked at a program that had some up and downs and everything, and you looked at a program that was fighting always in the A-10 and went, okay, I think there's some possibilities here, and there might be some possibilities to continue to adapt and elevate. So ultimately it was all of that, but really I'll say, you know, meeting with AD Beretta in the interview process, and then spending time with Steve Mest, Matt Papano, Ryan Klingon, and a few others in charge, their vision of what they want for the athletic department and what they want from the men's soccer program and the elevation of what they want from it and the direction of where they want to go and kind of the big picture and the success of what they're striving for. A lot of those things really spoke to me and spoke to my family. And ultimately, it was a family decision for sure. My wife made the biggest sacrifice, and our dogs made the biggest sacrifice of leaving the house down in the south and moving north. She was on board and really excited for a new adventure. And I think that was kind of something that we just talked about internally of, all right, well, this will be different, but it's a new adventure for us. And we could tell immediately the place is special by just the people that work here, the people that are around it, the alumni. It's a really, really special and unique environment that kind of just drew us in from day one.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I agree. Yeah.
Obviously, you had a lot of success there at UNC Asheville. You know, you obviously can't take that all with you, but what pieces of your success at UNC Asheville are you hoping to kind of bring over and implement with this Bonnies program?
Yeah, I mean, look, number one, the reason we had success was because we had unbelievable humans on board, and we had unbelievable student athletes and staff that were just tremendous and top, and that were willing to be together, willing to sacrifice anything that they needed to for the program to be successful. And so number one, it's about making sure we get the correct humans on board and we get the correct people on the bus moving forward. That's got to be job one, and what we've already started and what the group's done a really good job with behind it, because the way we want to play and the excitement and the intensity of what we want to do, it is a sacrifice you have to make. The most talented players do have to make some things and sacrifices and everything behind it with how we want to press and whatnot. So trying to just take that culture piece and continuing to evolve it here into that bigger spell. And the other aspect, the other large aspect is, just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean it can't be done. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we talked a lot about, and something that resonated with some similarities from program in Nashua to program here at Bonaventure was, okay, well, it hasn't been done, but that doesn't mean it can't be. It just might mean we have to look at things in a different fashion. We have to do things in a different manner. We have to maybe work harder or sacrifice more. Whatever it is, we've got to find our niche and be able to kind of take that forward as we go through it. So those are kind of 1A and 1B of the mentality and the ideology of what we've done as a staff coming in to try and get to that next level behind it. And then it's just from there, it's about how do we go to work every day being the best version of ourselves. All we can sort out is where our feet are right now. We can't worry about tomorrow. We can't worry about that game in a week or in 2 weeks. We have to sort out how we can be excellent in the moment of it. And that comes down to small details. The more small details all of us get, the more, I shouldn't say easier, but the more things start to align and the more that things will start to fall into place for us. And that's a big component for our group, is understanding, you know, we don't have to go be the most talented group or the best story program or most successful or anything like that. It's about how we can get the small details and the foundation to then build every single day. As long as we're doing that, we can all be able to enjoy what we're doing. We can all look at each other and look at ourselves and go, I've done everything possible. The results will be what they are. And that's just about elevating the standards, elevating the expectations and everything. So that's kind of the process we're in right now. It's that proven ground. You know, that's kind of what we talk about internally, of we need to go prove ourselves, and we need to go prove that we are not just here to be a cupcake, or we're not just here just to have that random invite or anything. Like, we are here to go have a seat at the table. We're here to actually go and try and prove things that we can do it. And whether that's to ourselves or everyone on the outside, it shouldn't matter. It's just about us knowing that we're doing it for each other. That will get us across the line.
Yeah. I'd love to hear that again. I agree with everything you've said so far, but
sometimes it happens. Sometimes.
Yeah, right. I'm going to circle back just a little bit. Yeah. Tell me a bit more about your playing time. Did you play longer than you coached?
So far, yes. Okay. So I've been playing since I was 3. Now, when I was growing up, again, something very fortunate is my dad had me be a multi-sport athlete and had me playing in several different things. But because there wasn't a large youth club where I was and where we lived out on the coast, in middle school, in the 7th and 8th grade, had to make a sacrifice. And so ended up dropping a couple sports and only was playing basketball, and then traveling and played soccer as well. And then from there, when I got into high school, it was only soccer from there. No more. I kicked for a little bit in high school football towards the end of my career, but that was kind of more just a little bit of a hobby. Yeah. Very simple. No, I didn't have exactly much to do on that side. So at this point, still have played longer than I have coached. But I am now in my, I believe it's my 10th year of college coaching overall. So it's getting a little bit closer.
So, sorry, not to, but just to follow up that, you said you play a little bit of professional, right?
I was fortunate to have signed, nothing crazy, but to have signed a contract in fourth division club back in Germany. And honestly, like, I was beyond lucky because one of my best friends that was a roommate of mine at Charlotte before I transferred to Asheville, he had signed with the club beforehand.
Really?
And he had called me and they were looking for one or two more guys. And thanks to him, I ended up over there with the chance and whatnot. And I've had a couple hip injuries and everything. That's what ended up derailing it pretty early, within about about the first kind of 6 months or so, by Christmas, that winter break that they have. But yeah, so I was fortunate to have a small stint there, but be able to live in a new country, be able to live in a new culture.
Yeah.
It's one that I would never trade that experience for anything.
Yeah.
Talking about those, you know, playing days over internationally, you know, now having a lot of international players on this roster, how much did that time overseas help you with kind of recruiting the international game and helping these players when they come over feel more comfortable in the States?
Yeah. I think, look, we had a handful of guys already here in the roster international-wise, so certainly can't take credit for all of them here. LastDAF did a good job with some of that. But I think the big thing has been, whether it's here, been at other programs that I've been a part of as an assistant or head coach, it's just been able to formulate those relationships with whether it's different clubs or whether it's different contacts and everything. But the biggest thing is for the international student athletes and all those guys that come over is I kind of lived in a similar fashion. I just went the other way, where you're going to a new place, likely by yourself, don't understand maybe the culture, sometimes don't know the language, and the uncertainty that brings upon someone. Well, having lived that, it maybe helps a little bit with our relationship together, but then also myself being able to reach out and look after them, the staff, Danny being able to reach out to look after them. So both of us kind of being able to just really put an arm around them and help them as they go, because homesickness is real, especially for those younger guys that haven't been away much throughout their careers and everything. So just been really fortunate to have been around some really good mentors and leaders that have showed me the way and kind of showed me the process of it. And then having lived a little bit of that, it's kind of a similarity that we get to share with some of our guys and some of our student athletes.
I keep asking you questions about yourself, because I know that was your, when we talked to you about doing this, it was all, I want to talk about the program. I don't want to boast about myself, but
I've got We're getting there.
Okay. All right. Well, we're getting there.
Fun question, at least for me.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite soccer club? Are you a fan of?
I do. It is painful, and it is painful stages right now. I'm a United fan. So
okay. Yeah.
I've been a Manchester United fan since I was little, because of Paul Scholes. That was my favorite player growing up. Certainly painful days at the current
currently yes, but you've had the runs.
When I was growing up, it was delightful. We were thriving and doing quite well. The last 10-12 years since Sir Alex has retired have been a bit of a straight drop off, but promising times will come ahead.
Yeah.
Might take us another 10 years, but we'll get back to it.
Sure.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your coaching philosophy. Something I've noticed is you're not necessarily the loudest coach. You're not going to be the guy screaming at your guys all game long. You know, you talked about a lot of the mentors you've had over your career. Where did that philosophy come from?
Yeah, I want to say I believe it's kind of just evolved over the last really probably 8 years or so, from first time being a head coach of a USL2 team back in NPSL at that time of the summer of 2017 to now, and being able to kind of one, look at yourself and go like, is that the leader I want to be, or is that how the image of myself I want it to be? Because certainly I wasn't always maybe as calm as I'm trying to certainly make sure I am. We all have our fiery moments, and the Italian heritage certainly pops out sometimes for sure. But, you know, some of my mentors have always kind of told me, and my dad being one of them, just said, look, you're not going to get anywhere with some of that. If that's all you have to you, you have to have all different kind of traits, and there's no problem having the intensity side and the loud side. But if you don't have the calmer side, or if you're not being able to go in and whisper criticism at times and everything, then you won't really be able to grab all of your guys and all of your players and really make them feel the most of what they can. So it's something just kind of trying to really evolve over the last several years for sure, and continuing to try and just be better myself. You know, big thing every summer of what I try to be able to do is, and something I preach for staff to do, is just going and doing some coaching education and going and being able to sit down with other college coaches, with professional coaches, with top youth coaches, being able to just listen in and see what some of them say. And then, like I touched on earlier, I'm a massive podcast guy. I would like to read more. I've a good amount of books. I don't do as much reading as I would like to. But I am a massive podcast guy, and some of those podcasts are about leadership and are about how you can make sure your message is translated. And like I said, certainly needs to be fiery at times. I've really tried to trend, at least within the game setting over the last year to 2 years, of how to have a little bit more of a patient side of it. And the more calmness that we can have as a staff, not just myself, but as a staff, then the more calmness our guys feel. And if we are losing our minds as a staff, then that could translate into them. And then we can lose composure behind it. And so the biggest quote my dad and one of my other mentors has told me was, control the controllables. You can't control everything, and especially those things. So when it comes to referee decisions, or when it comes to something outside of what you can be able to do as a player or as a staff, well, if you can't control that, then don't burn your energy in that realm of it. And by all means, I've got a lot of work to grow and a lot of areas to still grow and within that. But it's something I've really tried to not just preach, but practice as we go, and trying to see the benefit of what comes from it.
Yeah. All right. Like I promised, I won't ask you any more.
There we go. All right. Lovely.
Let's talk about the team.
Yes.
Obviously, without giving away your strategy here, just run me through, like, the team's kind of mentality. Is offensive, defensive, mix of both? What's your mentality and the team's mentality?
Yeah, we want to be on the front foot, and we want to be aggressive. And by all means, it's not always going to happen. And sometimes when we play some of our better opposition, we're still learning, we're still growing. But it's about how we can be able to try and dictate the game. So us being able to try and be on that front foot with the unified press and with the organized high press, and making sure that we're on the same page with everything in possession. We want to try and use the ball and try and use it to hurt the opposition. But ultimately, it's got to be able to go forward. And it's got to be able to have end product and end actions that go to goal. Because if we keep the ball all day long, but we never get chances, we don't ever create chances, we don't ever have actions going to goal, well, then what are we doing? Because that's how you score goals. That's how you win games. So it's about that side of it. And then the other bit to it is just about the transition and the mentality side of, you know, all of us are going to make mistakes. Myself, the staff, the boys, we're all in this. We're all human. The best footballers, the best coaches in the world, they make mistakes. So it's about us understanding that and how we can have positive reactions to go and solve it. Learn from that moment. Learn from whatever it was that didn't go the exact way we wanted, or the mistake that we maybe made, and then go apply it again and then not worry about it. Then we move forward. Ultimately, that's got to be a collective, and that's got to be a cohesive unit to do that. And you have my back, I have your back. No problem. Let's keep going. And that's a big focus behind it. There needs to be a lot of energy. We have to have energy. We have to have the desire to go run, the desire to go cover ground in and out of possession. And ultimately, again, it's about everyone being on the same page. A big thing we've talked about through preseason this year was, if everyone could be on the same page, even if it's the wrong page in the book of what we're writing, we're still going to stand a chance. We just can't be on separate pages in the book we're writing as a program for our 2025 season and then expect success behind it. So that's a big thing. And that starts from the top. That starts from myself and the staff. We've got to make sure we're clear and concise in what we're doing every single day and trying to help the group understand it all and help them understand the tactics, help them understand the moments, help them be able to see or different pictures or different actions that can go. So that way on game day, if possible, well, there's always going to be some nerves, but they have confidence behind it, and they have confidence because they know they've put in the work, they know they're prepared, they know they're ready. So they're always going to be that little bit of nerves, but they have their confidence that comes from knowing we've done the work, we're ready, let's go try and do and be our best we can be.
Yeah, I love that. And honestly, the front foot forward. It shows, because I can really tell it's constant pressure. You guys are always on the attack. I do have a quick follow-up question.
Yeah.
What formation you guys usually run? Mostly for me, and also why?
Yeah, no, so right now we're in a 1-4-2-3-1. Don't want to leave out our goalkeepers,
right.
So 1-4-2-3-1. Really similar kind of to a 4-3-3 or a 4-1-4-1. Big reason we've picked that, and while we're going through it right now, is a lot of youth players coming out within the States are accustomed to a 4-3-3,
yeah,
and accustomed to that system, to be fair, even internationals. And the reason we ended up picking that was we have our game model and how we want to play, what we want to do. From there, we pick our shape based on our personnel, who's available,
gotcha,
and who we have that we've been able to try and help be successful within the game model. So it's all about the starting shape. And we teach them, okay, here's our starting shape, here's the game model and the principles of what we want, and here's how you go do it. We can adjust that, we can adapt that. So we lose someone and we need to adjust our shape, that's no problem, fair enough. Here's how we always stick to. So we always come back to the game model, to our principles of what we want to do. Then we run off of that. And everything else we kind of adapt and mold to make sure we stay to it. But 4-2-3-1 was kind of the couple weeks, the 3 weeks we had in the spring.
Gotcha.
Was what we had then at that point. The boys kind of gravitated towards it, so we kept trying to just press it forward as we go. All means, we've played 3-4-3, played 3-4-2-1, 3-5-2, like, we've experimented a few things in training, and we've done a few different things as we've gone through it, but it's just about how they can be the most confident with what we're asking of them and the demands of what we're putting on them, how they can be the most confident in whatever shape that is, and that's kind of where we're sticking to it. I wouldn't say it's more simple, but it's more simple in how we're trying to do and what we're asking of them to then move forward.
Yeah, whatever works. So if you got the guys to do it, do it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's got to be about their success and how, right, how they can find success with what you're asking of them. Because there's a million different ways to play this game. There's a million different shapes of what you can go do and all the crazy stuff behind it.
Yeah.
It's just about, again, getting them all on the same page and then making something concise so they can find that success, or hopefully find the confidence to go find success behind it and everything.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about Seth Hammond. And
yeah.
He's been a big piece of your offense last year and then now coming over here to Bahamas,
yeah,
doing much of the same thing. You know, how important has that been to both implementing your offense, mm-hmm, here at Bahamas, as well as just having someone you kind of know coming into the program and coming into your time here?
Yeah, Seth is unbelievable, and I'm so fortunate for him to decide to do his grad year and his extra year that he had of eligibility with us here at Bonaventure, and going on 3 years now together. It's just been amazing to see his development as a person, his development as a player, and, you know, a big component coming into it was wanting someone that knew exactly the standards of it and knew, yeah, what we were going to ask and the demands of what we're going to ask, and know that just because we're asking that and it seems crazy, some of the things of what we're trying to do and achieve, it really isn't. So, you know, one, I'm just so happy and proud of him for the success of what he's had and the kind of front foot of what he's gotten off of, what he's been able to do for us. But what he's really been able to do with our other leaders is just continuing to cultivate this winning mindset, winning mentality behind it, and us trying to chase excellence as we go through it. And that all starts from competitiveness. And I truly don't know many people more competitive than Seth. Like, I'm a pretty competitive person myself, which is probably why we gravitate towards one another. But Seth is one of the most competitive guys I've ever had the opportunity to work with, and so I'm just unbelievably fortunate for that, and he's brought that here for sure. Mm-hmm. He has brought that here, whether it is ping pong or whether it's in a card game or a board game or anything like that we're maybe playing on a road trip. He is competitive as all get out, so, you know, just been wonderful for him to be able to have this opportunity at a bigger stage and in a bigger limelight as he continues to try and progress his career. But really, really fortunate just for the relationship. And it is one of those, again, we've had going on 3 years now. So there are things that I know and that he knows that we'll get to with other guys here. But because we know each other so well, there could be just some times where I could say one or two words, or I could look at him and he could just give me a thumbs up and I know he's okay, or he could give me certain things back, and we just have that relationship kind of being able to understand each other really, really well. And again, I'm just really fortunate for him that he's decided to come up here and be able to continue to work with him daily is a true blessing, and just something that, you know, he's rubbing off on our guys, and he's just helping our guys understand everything of what maybe they want, but just taking that next step in how we do it. And he's certainly not alone. All of our leaders have stepped up in that aspect of it, because it takes a village to be able to go and move forward and move things along. But it's just been fortunate for myself to be able to have that. And he's just such a wonderful young man and wonderful person that it's with a great character to him and a good little sense of humor that it's been fun to have around.
You're going to have him listen to this after so you can hear all the
we'll hold off on it for now. Right. We'll wait for him to bang in a few more goals and then have the season end.
Get his ego too high.
Exactly, 100%.
I'm sure it's so nice to have a familiar face in a locker room moving anywhere. So.
Yes, that certainly is one. And again, you know, I touched on earlier the reason why the Asheville groups were successful is because of how close they all were in the change room and the locker room, and how close that everyone was and how close the staff was to everyone. So to be able to have a little piece of that as we're building that here and as we're going to get that here, to be able to have that in year one automatically, it definitely is a little bit of a comfort, to say the least.
Right, for sure. Well, I'm going to bring up last game over the weekend against Davidson. You basically just got back from that, so I'm sure it's a little bit fresh in your mind, but just tell me a bit about the game plan for this game. I thought you guys played really well defensively. You know, did you have an emphasis on defense, or were you going in with the same mentality you usually do?
It was certainly the same mentality, but it was going to need to be adjusted a bit. Davidson is an aggressive group, and they've built a really successful program down there, what Coach Baps has done and everything. So we knew going on the road it was going to be difficult and it was going to be a challenge. And having played against Davidson the last 2 years, myself with the Asheville program, we kind of knew a little bit of how their system runs and kind of what they look for and what they do. And we know it's always organized. So we were going down there knowing, okay, we need to steal points on the road. We need to make sure we pick up some stuff. We need to get off the mark in the A-10 table to really help us as we chase postseason play. But the way we had to adapt a few things and the way we had to make sure we adjusted our shape because of how good Davidson is in the attack and how aggressive they are. You know, they played a really expansive 3-4-3 that just bombed on guys, and they were hard to deal with, and they were explosive going forward, and they're dangerous on set pieces as well. So it was the understanding going into it of belief, but then also understanding of, all right, well, we're going to go and we're going to defend bravely. We also have to be intelligent, and we can't be naive going into the game to think we can just do everything the exact same. So had a few tweaks behind it, adjusted a few things. You know, we're fortunate we had the entire week of training prep going into that, so we were able to really help the boys, and we were able to coach and teach a lot. They were great with taking in all the information and then even more so going and applying it on the weekend. I think it was probably a little bit fair. The result, by all means, Davidson had some chances. They had two really good chances late on that we were quite happy to see not hit the back of the net. Our boys defended and blocked some really important shots towards the end as well, so that was good. And on the other side of it, we did have a couple moments. We had some of our chances that we just couldn't punch in the back of the net. But being able to go down there against, again, a good Davidson team that is in my opinion, had one of the hardest non-conference schedules and hardest schedules so far this year, with who they play and the region of where they're playing a lot of their non-conference stuff. So to be able to go down there in a quite warm Saturday afternoon game, it was good for us to be able to get off that mark and get ourselves moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to talk about Felix Schoen. Yeah. He allowed 6 goals in his first 2 games, and now yesterday was his 4th shutout in 6 games. You know, how impressive has his turnaround been, and you know, how tough of a decision was it to kind of stick with him in the early part of the season?
Yeah, look, I'll say from all of our goalkeepers, all of them have been working really hard, and all of them have been competing relentlessly. And you know, it was definitely conversations we've looked at and we talked about early on behind it. But Felix just has this composure behind him, even though he's young, that allows you to have belief in him. And certainly some of it was we needed to be better defensively in front of whoever we were going to play in goal. That was a big component for our group, understanding it wasn't just on our goalkeepers to save us at all times, that we needed to be a bit better defensively as we went. We needed to clean up some mistakes on that side of it. And so that part getting a little bit tighter certainly helped. But then just this past weekend, you know, at Davidson, he made a massive save late on in a dive to his right that pushed one wide that really kept us in it. And he's done that a couple times now, being able to keep those clean sheets. And he just continues to grow. And certainly credit to him and credit to his mindset and to his mentality of wanting to be better. Loads of credit goes to Danny working with him and working with all the goalkeepers and the training of what he's doing and preparing them every single day. Massive amount of credit goes to that, and then also to the entire goalkeeping core. They've continued to try and elevate the entire, you know, kind of goalkeeping room behind it, and making sure that every single day they're pushing each other to be better. And so, you know, Alex Omar and Nick Pucci and Ben Chaudhry, like the three of those have deserve a lot of credit too, because they are making Felix better every day in training with what they're doing and pushing him along. And you know, I think some of it comes with comfort for Felix as he continues to go, and comes with adaptation of it, and comes with, hey, college soccer isn't always pretty. College soccer sometimes is all about set pieces and then dumping balls on top of you, and how you can be brave, and the quickness of what you have to go and do. But he's been great. He's been tremendous. His vocal leadership side is starting to come out more and more, which again comes with that experience bit. But ultimately, at the end, it's a massive credit to not only him, to all the goalkeepers and the level of what they're trying to uphold in training, and to Danny with the level of where he is pushing all of them as we move forward.
Yeah, I mean, 7 saves is nothing to scoff at. That's pretty impressive, especially for a freshman who's also international.
100%.
Yeah. So over the weekend, Gavin and I kind of realized, oh, there's no stream of this game over in Davidson. Does that kind of bother you at all, maybe, that they don't really have a stream for their team, or they don't kind of put you on anything? Or
yeah, I think the reason it bothers me is that, and I know every athletic department is stretched, and I mean, it's been unfortunate. Our first 2 A-10 games, both on the road, neither one had a stream.
Right.
And I know in these times, every athletic department is really stretched thin, and what they can do and the capacities with multiple events going on campus and everything. And so I certainly understand that. The only reason I say it would bother me, or does bother me, is just because having our guys spotlighted and highlighted, and having our fans and our supporters and everyone that cares and the families that want to just tune in to show their support, they just don't have that opportunity to do it live. So it only bothers me just on that side of it, because, you know, as many times or as much as possible to be able to have our friends, families, everyone that's supporting us from afar being able to tune in, but then also having our guys being able to be spotlighted in that environment is certainly what they work hard for. So, I get it, though. It's tough,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, with other athletic departments. And so it's you know, one of those where not mad at a Davidson or a Duquesne or anything. We know they can't do anything about it, but it just stings a little bit because everyone that wants to support us from afar didn't exactly have the ability to or the opportunity. And,
right.
And then our guys just don't have that opportunity to be on ESPN Plus, which is always always a fun thing to do these days.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have it here.
Yes.
And to have it be all student ran as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, the ability to have all of our games on a stream and everything is really second to none, and it goes credit to the athletic department, goes credit to all of you and everyone that makes it happen and makes it worthwhile and the sacrifices everyone makes for it. So I can say from myself, from our staff, from our guys, we're all beyond appreciative for what all of you do.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, yeah,
of course. Appreciate it.
Obviously, back in Carolina at Davidson, you know, about a two-hour drive from UNC Asheville. Did you get to catch up with any friends, family while you were back in the Carolinas?
Oh yeah, we had a massive supporter group for sure. I think overall we had probably about 35-40 people for Bonaventure. Some of that was some local families and other families that traveled. And then, you know, I was fortunate. My dad was able to make it. My in-laws, my wife's dad and mom were able to make it, one of our nephews, and then some of my best friends and their spouses, their families were. And then we also, for Seth and I, was also special. We had some of his former teammates who are now alums come out and support us too, on top of one of my mentors that was able to be there and whatnot. So we had a nice little supporter section of a lot of Bulldogs pulling for the Bonnies there that game and everything there. So it was really cool to see, again, some of our former alumni that Seth played with and that are some of his closest friends were able to be there to support us and that were able to come check out the game and everything. So, yeah, we had a good little group. Like I said, I think it was around 35-40 total. Wow. That we were able to have there collectively supporting.
It's got to feel nice, especially with the early A-10 contest, having some extra momentum going for you. Yeah.
Yes, it definitely was. And they had a fun little crowd themselves and a good little student section that was quite loud and some vuvuzelas and some horns and everything.
There you go.
It was nice on our side to be able to have a little bit of support. And then after the game as well, when we're all done and spending some time with families, to see the amount that were there. That was also beneficial and kind of heartwarming, and being back down in the Carolinas again, it was just wonderful to see, family, and wonderful to see some people that we hadn't seen in a few months and everything behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome to hear. You know, that's what they say about Bonnies, like St. Bonaventure. Bonnies travel, they will really go across country just to watch.
Exactly. But I'm learning that very quickly. I'm learning that really quickly with our alumni and everything. We've got a road trip next week in Cleveland that we've got a couple of alumni joining us and that we're going to get to see and meet up with and everything. So learning that really quickly on the Bonnie alum, they are diehards and they are all about it. And it's been awesome. It really has been awesome.
All right. Well, next week coming up this Saturday at home versus GW.
Yep.
What are you kind of expecting out of that game?
That's gonna be a bit of a bloodbath. That's gonna be a battle for sure. They are better than what their record shows, and they're better than what maybe they were picked to finish within the league so far. Been an aggressive 4-4-2 in their side of things, and they've battled some teams. They battled Fordham just the other day to a 1-0 loss, but they are. They've got Delaware tomorrow in a non-conference game, and Delaware's flying right now. So they're going to be up to it, and G-Dub's going to be ready to go because they're going to have seen some high tempo and some really top programs within the entire country over the last 2-3 weeks, just alone leading up into it. So it's going to be a battle, and it's going to be about who can execute and who can sort out the small details and who can sort out the little things that drive you home in smaller increments. So whether that's recovery runs, whether that's communication, whether that's your reactions in transitional moments or set pieces, the team that can sort those things and the team that can execute the most and the most successfully, that they're going to find some success on the day and they're going to find more enjoyment. And for us, it's about maximizing home A-10 games to be able to get points at home as much as possible, make it a fortress, make it a difficult place to play and come. So that's a big focus as we go and go into the week and what we go into as we're moving forward. But we know we've got a big test on our hands and a big challenge coming our way.
Nice. Yeah.
Now, Saturday night at the Mara at home, you know, how much of a crowd are you expecting? And, you know, how much do you want that bond of faith to turn out this weekend?
We've been fortunate. The last two crowds we've had at home with Mercyhurst and then with Canisius, they were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. 400 or 500, the environment was electric. And that environment, especially against Canisius, that led us to early success in that game, which led us to big success towards the end, just the support we had. So we know it's family weekend. We know there's a lot of things going on, but we're hopeful we can get Bonner Nation out there and we can get everyone out there to come and support us. And then it's our job to put on an exciting product and go and get the job done. But we're hopeful that we can entice people to come over and spend some time with us and give us a little bit of their energy as we go and try to put on a show and perform well.
Yeah, I mean, talking from experience, my family's coming down. I'm taking them over to the field, you know?
Yeah, watching the game. That's what I love. That's what I'm talking about. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. As many, tell them, bring a friend, and let's go.
I can say my family will be there.
You're contributing.
There's extra.
If I'm not working the game, my family will be there as well.
One way or the other,
I'll be there.
Exactly. So that's all we can do. All of us just contributing just a little bit. I'll make sure my wife, the dogs, they'll be there.
Right.
The three of us contribute. We pull a few more people along. We get some flyers around campus, we get the student body involved, get the boys out there promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
We get a nice little electric feel on Saturday night.
Exactly. Yeah. What else are you doing on Saturday night?
Come on,
exactly.
That's it. 6 o'clock. There's nothing else. It's in between. I'm not really ready for a full dinner yet. Might as well go work up the appetite, get going, and see some funness.
Exactly.
This week you don't have necessarily like a midweek tune-up. Would you prefer to have those, you know, midweek non-conference games to kind of tune up, fix, you know, the stuff, or do you feel, you know, with just practice you can handle what you need to fix?
It's a good mixture. If it's one of those where if you could have a full week in your early period of A-10 play, it's helpful because you truly don't know the level of the A-10 until you've experienced it numerous mm-hmm. times over. So for us being able to have a little bit of a week break, kind of like last week going into Davidson, this week going into G-Dub, it will give us a little bit of teaching time behind it. Once we kind of get into the realm of it, it's not terrible to have that kind of midweek to break up the monotony of it, and then also to give some guys opportunities that maybe didn't get an opportunity on the weekend. It allows us to have some roster rotation, allows us to be able to flesh out some things and flesh out the legs a little bit in that side of it. I'll say this week, after a long travel, I'm certainly happy for no midweek because that could have been an interesting turnaround for us.
Right.
But the midweek games aren't not terrible, they're not bad or anything like that. I think it's just the timing of it.
Right.
The timing of it has to be right within the schedule, within the periodization for the boys, within class time.
Mm-hmm.
You all know there's certain class periods that hit, that it is heavy midterms, heavy homework, everything. So trying to balance that whole full student-athlete experience mm-hmm. behind it and balance that schedule as we go, that allows us to maximize some of those components. So headed in this week, certainly happy no midweek behind it. But it'll be nice to have a couple midweeks coming up to be able to get some other guys some run outs and to be able to balance the legs a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with that, that'll do it for the first episode of the Bonnies Breakaway. For Ryan Adio and Nick Giordano, I'm Kevin Watson. Thank you guys all for listening.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate taking the time to do it.
No, we'll see you next week. Let's keep it rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do it.
Hope for a win too.
Let's go. 3 points at home. Come on.
Exactly.
There we go.